Good morning again. I came back. Remember that I had a session that I didn't teach last time, so the leaders called me and said, you need to come and finish that subject. I appreciate that. I think this is very important to me. So, yeah. What I'm going to be teaching you this morning or try to convey to you has become controversial. 95% of Christians and PhDs don't agree with me. It's a teaching that has changed. So I want you to know that. I'm not coming here trying to convince you. It seems that I'm beyond that. All I want to do is share with you a perspective of things just for you to ponder. I think it's foundational to do the right way the thing that I came to teach before. Do you remember last time that I was here, I ended with these three things that we need to do to enter to the very presence of God that I had up there? Want to enter there? There are certain things that we need to do. We need to draw near to God. We need to approach Him with a true, sincere heart. And we need to approach Him with total assurance of faith. And the way that I put it was, I will do it. I will be transparent. And I will exercise my faith. But that's not complete yet. During this teaching, I'm going to be touching that goes beyond that. So here we go. I call this a spiritual life required. And I'm using spiritual in a different way than many people use spiritual. Spiritual can be an adjective. What it means is, if it's mystical, if it's related to religion, then it's spiritual. That's not the way I'm using it. I'm using it as nature. It's of a certain nature that is called spiritual. As I go, you're going to see what I mean. But I thought it was good to mention that at the beginning. So another way that I could call that is life in the spirit, the renewed spiritual nature of mankind. You notice that this nature piece is what I would like to be. You know that I'm looking up there, right? I think less distracting than me looking in there. So Ephesians 2:18 says this. This is the point. For through Him we both have access to the Father. The both are Gentiles and Jews. That's what it means. For through Him we have access to the Father. Amen to that. But you notice that there are a few words missing in there. How? And he says this. By one Spirit. It's not an exercise of our humanity. By one Spirit that controls this whole thing, we are able to do it. Are you with me? This is what I would like to build on. Entering into the presence of God and anything else in the Christian life is a spiritual event. Spiritual. And used as nature, as I told you. It's of a spiritual nature. Spiritual life is required to enter the presence of God. But we have a big problem here, and it is that what does that mean? Spiritual life. So I'm going to give you my shot, as I told you. You can disagree with me. I welcome that. I don't want to convince you. I just want to share something with you that is foundational to my walk. And I thought it's perfect to join to this teaching. So that means that I can do this in a way that is not spiritual. I can do it in a way that is actually spiritual. So what does it look like? What would be the big difference here? So to start, I want to make this explanation here before we start. This message is based on Pauline theology. This is the Apostle Paul trying to interpret what Jesus taught. He was willing to go to jail for it. Actually, they killed him because of the things that he was teaching. So I think it's very important. He wrote a big piece of our New Testament. So this is based on Pauline theology. And I also want to say that I will be using a literal translation of Scripture. I don't mean that I'm going to Greek and Hebrew. That's not what I mean by that. What I mean by that is that certain translations are closer to what the author was trying to say. Some are far beyond what the author was trying to say. You're not going to find this concept in the far beyond what the author was trying to say versions of Scripture. So that's why I say that. So here I go. Life in the Spirit. I'm going to give some explanations here. Life in the Spirit is the kind of life that happens at a spiritual level. a level that regular human beings cannot perceive or understand with their natural abilities. Life in the Spirit also is the kind of life that happens in a spiritual realm, a realm that regular human beings are not capable of reaching, entering, or seeing. So I have a comment here. Thank you, Antonio. Big help. This is the problem that we have with this thing. We never talk about things like this. We take for granted that everybody understands what the statements that I have there mean. So let me add a few extra ones. Life in the Spirit is the kind of life that can only be lived by those who have been born of the Spirit. I talk about spiritual nature and all that. Born of the Spirit. And here is another concept. All regular human beings, as a result of a second new birth, have the capacity to be and function like spiritual human beings. Come on. Same thing. So we need to talk about this. Regular human beings. What do I mean by that? Spiritual human beings. What in the world is this? Let me add another thought here. Life in the Spirit is of a spiritual nature. You notice that it's very important for me. I mentioned that word nature many times before so that we don't go in a different direction of what I mean with this. What I mean is this. Jesus said this in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh, if you instruct it correctly, is going to become spiritual. If you send it to seminary for three years, it's going to become, it doesn't work like that. That which is born of the flesh can help it but to be flesh. So what about this one? That which is born of the Spirit, if you're not careful, reverts back to flesh. It doesn't work like that either. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that you become any of the two, very simple. You're born that way. There is no other way to do that. Your flesh, because you were born like that, your spiritual also because you were born like that. Not because you're good or you're bad. It doesn't work like that. You're born. I'm putting foundation. Did you get that in my other teachings that this guy Antonio talks a lot of things and then what in the world is he going to? But at the end it makes sense. It's going to be the same today, okay? So I'm just putting some foundations here because I'm going in that direction. This is a matter of birth. You do not improve or revert to the other. Different kinds of life. That's the whole point that I'm trying to make here. It's another one. Body, spirit, and those who worship him must spirit in spirit and truth. The passage doesn't say God is flesh. And those who worship him must worship him in flesh and truth. That would make sense. But the passage doesn't say either God is soul. And those who worship him must worship him in soul and truth. It was very important for Jesus to make this. Obviously, he didn't say the soul and the flesh thing. But it was very important for him to express that what he's trying to say is God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus is comparing apples to apples. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. So, regular human beings, spiritual human beings, flesh, soul, spirit. What in the world is this thing that Antonio is trying to share here with us? So it's going to be long. I'm doing fine, I think. God's original creation was body, soul, and spirit. This is what a human being was. And God, when he finished, remember, this is my take on it. You may disagree with it, my take on it. It was indeed very good. That's what Scripture says, different than animals and all the other creation. It was a very positive thing. And there was a rule in this game after God created humanity. And the rule was this, all based on trust and obedience, going to where you started, all based in trust and obedience, In other words, God leads, they follow. That's the way it was supposed to work, and there was no other way. Sadly, there was someone there that wanted to change this. We know about the serpent, and then the negative piece of this picture appears. Satan used his powers to do something with humanity. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat from any... It's like, does God knows what he's talking about kind of thing? Eve heard him, and she started responding, and then the serpent just went directly to this. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open. Isn't that great? And you will be like God. And you are going to know good and evil on your own. Quite a temptation. So when the woman saw this, it was wonderful. And the eye to the eyes and all the things that we know in the passage, I don't want to go there. She took the fruit and ate, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. It happened. And they knew. From this point forward, they know something that it was not the intention of God for them to know that way. God knew. Their work was trust and obey. Not that God was not going to teach them things, but this is the way that it was intended. Now they don't need him. They know. This is bad, this is good. They think. So what happened in this negative side is what we call falling humanity. Falling humanity looks pretty much like this. You know, the day that you eat, you're going to die. But the way we look at this is that we don't have spirit anymore. It doesn't work like that. What happened is our spirit is deadened, if we would call it that way. That power, that direction, that part of our humanity was shrunk to a point that is not capable of perceiving God in the way it was supposed to be. He can perceive other kinds of spiritual things, and we are not saying that. So we need to, this is a very important concept, a dead spirit. That's what we have. This spirit and the soul of man, ever since, have been intertwined in such a way that it's very hard to differentiate between the two. In Scripture, if you go to the Old Testament, they sound like the same thing because they are interconnected. Thus, my opinion, that's the conclusion that I got by studying Paul, as I told you. And my intention is not giving you all the theology of this. I'm just trying to build somewhere. This is what I'm calling a regular human being. Okay? What a difference does it make? Why is this so important that Antonio is trying to express to us here? We're going to see this. The nature of humanity, as I said, was like that. This is the fallen one. It's still nature of humans, but something is missing. And as soon as this happened, a story starts. These fallen creatures from this point forward become self-centered. The most important person in the world? Me. As a result of that, they consistently think about themselves first. Did Adam did anything when God came to the garden and they are nowhere to be found? Did you eat from the tree that I told you? Do we see Adam coming? Lord, I was the head of humanity, so here I am. I'm guilty. Punish me, but let the woman go. Yeah, right. The woman that you gave me is the woman's fault and God's fault for giving him the woman. Follow me? What did the woman say? He's right, Lord. I ate first. The serpent. We just think as fallen creatures ourselves first. They want to be like God now. They are in charge. And as a result of that, I'm the most important. It's not God, it's me. They think they are superior creatures too. They put themselves in a pedestal and they think they are the greatest. So because of that, this is what the fallen creatures need to believe. They need to believe this. Because if they are great creatures and superior in any way and all that, because that's part of the fallen, they desperately need to believe that their soul is their spirit. Because that part is ineffective. But they need to feel that to create for them. So soul and spirit are the same thing. The problem is that this bipartite view of life, that we are only body and soul, happens to be the spirit at the same time, it's the way the thinking goes is pretty much like this. The soul is what makes us different from animals. Have you heard that? Many times. Complex reasoning, emotions and feelings, volition, conscience, creativity. And these wonderful things. I want to put a big green check mark before that. This is an amazing thing. It's true that we have these things. You think about Einstein and all these other geniuses that we have so many today in the world. Brains that are amazing. Then we have the creativity creating these things that we don't even have to connect anywhere. We can talk to each other. This is human development just by observing, getting to that amazing thing. Creativity, a wonderful thing. Music and poetry touch the emotions of people, and we being able to respond to that. Determination, the capacity to, we are going to the moon in 10 years, and there we were. It's quite an amazing thing. Are you with me? I'm not trying to put down the soul. I'm not saying that the soul is a bad thing. My reaction here is that because of this, we have decided, because we are fallen creatures, that the soul is therefore the spiritual part of humanity. Very dangerous. But that's where human beings are. They want to believe this with all their hearts. But we need to understand that this way of thinking is pre-Christian. All this thinking, Plato, Aristotle, and whoever it was before us, even in many ways the Jewish thinking, even in the Bible, they didn't know better. They are just explaining what they know. So it was before Jesus, before we didn't know what were going to be the spiritual dynamics that were going to come once Jesus came. He was going to change things. If not, we don't need Jesus. So this is my point. What makes us different from animals applies to all human beings. All. Whether Christ is part of the equation or not. You with me? Whether Christ is, you can take Christ out of the equation, and every human being shares everything that I just mentioned to you. Do you think that Steve Jobs was a Christian or had Christ? Actually, he was not interested. He said no. So you don't need Christ for all these amazing things that the soul does. Whether Christ is part of the equation or not is secondary. So what if this is what we were in the intention of God? We're going to read this because this is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 15 says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are. And what is the implication here? And he cannot. There is no other way to read this. The natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. Cuckoo. If they hear something that is actually spiritual, they cannot digest. Needs to be discerned in a way that they cannot do. Now, this is my point here. Paul didn't write natural there, even when I took it from a literal translation of the Bible. What Paul wrote was this. The soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. You with me? Soulish is even an adjective that exists in English. Yeah, but somehow we have to find a way to put this. Soulish men, spiritual things are foolishness to them. They are incapable to discern them. You with me? The next verse is, but he who is spiritual discerns all things. Version says judges, but it's the same word that was in the verse before. Discerns all things. But no one can discern him, so to speak. This passage is clearly showing us that a soulish man, a man who is led by his soul, is a different thing than a man that is led by his spirit. But how can the man be led by his spirit? He's deadened. So we are in trouble here. What is Paul talking about? Remember that this is written after Christ. He knew the things that Jesus had put in the picture that we're going to change things here. So a spiritual life is a higher state of being than the soulish life is. And I knew that this was going to happen to me. A regular human being goes like this. This is a regular human being. It's a fallen, selfish creature, spiritually dead because of sin, alienated from the life of God, hopeless and without God in this world. All this is from Ephesians, okay? And he's led by his natural abilities. Doesn't have anything else. in these natural abilities, the main, not that these are all of them, are this: mind, emotions, and will. In these words, positive, wonderful things. I already mentioned that. Then I have my graph again just to remind where we were. But these things are also have a negative side to it. These things that are part of our soul, they are perverted, distorted because of the fall. And as a result of that, they are an aberration of what God actually wanted us to turn into. So there are certain key words that go with each one of them. Mind, I have to understand things. Emotions, I have to feel good. We can help it as human beings, but that's what we are looking. Will, I have to be in control. Now I'm going to make the connection. They are considered prerequisites for entering to the whatever life God has for us. So I'm going to go back there because this is what I'm trying to illustrate. Remember, spiritual life is required for doing that thing that I had up there. How do we go to the presence of God? The first one is, I have to understand it. But I am here. I don't understand the thing. I'm not moving. So we found a way to do this. We bind devotional books that allow us to have an intellectual exercise. You with me? Whether you connect with God is not the point. It's that you're going to have an intellectual exercise. You might have that connection with God. But we have this need of having something that is intellectual, and we have something that we do for half an hour in the morning, and it gives you some conclusions, and then you can say, well, it was a meaningful time for me. The other one is emotions. It has to make me feel good. I don't think that I'm going to God. You see, I don't go enough there. But you don't do that. You have your devotions. You have your book that you have the intellectual exercise. And then you feel good because you did something. If it's only 15 minutes a day that you gave to God, the rest of their day is yours. I'm not judging every Christian in this world. I'm just putting facts in there. This is the way it works. And the other one is control. Huh? The way that I can go there and it's not with these things that I have put together and feeling good, it makes me feel that I'm not in control. I'm not willing to give my control to anybody else. So it makes you feel good, you're in control, and you have your intellectual fix, so to speak. It's pretty much a drug. This is all the soul can offer to us. And because we want to be like God, that's the big problem. I'm in charge. So this is what we call the natural man. But as I mentioned, it all comes from the soul. It doesn't come from the body. It comes from the soul. And as a result of that, Paul calls that a soulish man. But the soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. This thing is going to ring pretty soon. But I have another 8 minutes after that. Am I going to redeem myself today? That's to be seen. You know that with my use of time. But the soul does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So I have this other piece, because this is what I'm trying to illustrate. How to become a spiritual man? How do I move from just being human to being spiritual? And I found a hard time trying to explain this because I was just making it too intellectual. So what I decided is I'm going to go one step behind, and I said, on being human, how do you become human? This we can understand. We're going to put an animal one step before and how the animal could become human. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's easier than the other. So here I go. This is my doggy. It died already, but my baby. Indy, his name. Do you know how I make it? He never allowed me to take pictures, but that's a very attentive picture, isn't it? I just went to him. I had my camera and I said, Indy, ¿quieres manzana? In Spanish. Okay? Immediately. I could take as many pictures as I wanted. All I told him was, Indy, would you like an apple? He loved apples. Very smart dog. Bilingual. No, not bilingual, but understood both languages. He didn't speak. But this dog was so smart that the 250 words that dogs usually understand, he understood it in two languages. You could say whatever to him, and he knew what it was in any of the two. Pretty smart dog. But this is the point that I want to make. This is the animal realm between those two blue lines. That's where it happens. And up there is the human realm, right? It's different. It's another kind of realm. So my little dog was born here. And sadly, it doesn't matter how smart he is, his life is going to happen between those two blue lines. is going to have a dog life. Cannot go beyond that. And dog life usually includes this: eating, sleeping, playing, and eating. Somebody told me, what about number one and number two? That's what I told him. That's fine. But this is actually what they are doing. He's happy with that. I play with his understanding sometimes, because I knew what was it. He just standing in front of me like saying, I want to eat. And then I start talking to him and never said a word that he knew. I was just talking, but all he was hearing was, he was waiting for one word that he could understand. And with the example that I gave you, every time I did that, he just went, because he's trying to get there. And eventually I said, Indy, would you like an I just got to the first syllable, and he ran to the refrigerator. Smart dog. But he couldn't understand the rest. He was not human. So the problem is that it doesn't matter how smart he is. There are no dogs allowed at that point. Up there is reserved for human beings. It's a completely different thing. So there is another list than the one that I have there. But this poor dog doesn't know what it is. Cuckoo. Foolishness. Impossible to discern. He's just a dog. So we know better because we are human. We understand that piece. Reasoning, creativity, laughter, and all these other things that we keep up there. Well, this poor dog only has one solution. That it never happened to him. He died, and it was never going to happen for any dog. The dog should have the ability to be born again as a human. That's the only way that he could be able to understand that. Never going to happen. So let me go back to my first graph. How about the other one? Human in turning spiritual. You can tell that I'm just using the one that we understand in trying to explain this one. There is a natural realm and there is a spiritual one. Here I am. I can do all things. I'm God. Sadly, your life happens in between those two lines. It's soul life. And in that life, you have reasoning, creativity, determination, all the things that I mentioned before, and more. Amazing things. But the problem is that your life happens in between those two lines, and there's a sign there that says that there are no humans that are allowed beyond that point. In order to be there, it's reserved for spiritual human beings. Here's where the problem is. What is there? We don't know because we are human. We're not spiritual. We are human. We're talking about fallen humanity. Remember that we're still there. So what would be the solution? That's why it says, for the soulish man does not understand the spirit, that they need to be discerned spiritually. He doesn't have the ability. When this thing happens, all the human, natural human being can do is just like the dog was doing. He cannot grasp it. It's impossible. We know better. So that's it? We are forever trapped in this soulish condition? God forbid. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is something that we must understand. The solution, we must be born again. And that's not a symbol that Jesus used. That must is telling you that that's not a symbol. It's a necessity. You must be born again. If we were actually faithful to the words of Jesus, it should be, I truly, truly mean we must be born again. You see that I either went truly there. You're going to see right now. Let me just check the clock here. Oh, it's not working right. John 3:19 tells us the story of Nicodemus and Jesus. Lord, we know that you came from God because no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. But Jesus didn't tell him, wonderful, you finally understood it. No, what Jesus said to him was this. Most surely, amen, amen. Do you know what that amen? Why Jesus repeated that amen, amen? What that means is truly, truly. Pay attention because it is highly important. That's what Jesus was trying to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, that actually better translation here would be born from above. It's the same word. In the Greek, it's the same word. Born from above. What happens to that person? Cannot see the kingdom. And in our humanity, what we think it means is, if you're not born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God when you die. It's bigger than that. You simply cannot see the kingdom of God. It's to you. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again and enter his mother's womb? And Jesus said, amen, amen. He just repeated it again. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter kingdom of God. Do you remember what we were doing? in the other teachings that I had, we are going to enter the very presence of God. You cannot do that unless you have been born spiritually. And then Jesus said the verse that I just mentioned before, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be marveled that I say to you, you must be born again if you want to experience these things that I'm talking about. So Jesus presents this born again thing, and things change from there on. Let me just a few verses here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, his soul has been fixed. Now God came, and emotionally now the person is okay. The thinking he revealed to them, it doesn't work like that. And now you are in total control of your life because it doesn't work like that. New creation. If anyone is in Christ, things have been recreated. That thing that we said that the dog couldn't do, we can. Those are wonderful news. Another verse. But as many as receive him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name. Children of God is one of those pieces that has become, it's very common out there. We are all children of God. We are all sons of God. We are all daughters of God. But that's not what John said in here. In order to be a child of God, there are two things that need to happen. You need to believe in Jesus, you need to receive him. This is pretty exclusive, even when exclusivity is not welcome today. God is not going to change that only because we don't like it. This is very clear here. And then explains to us what that means. I appreciate that verse 13 is there. Verse 12, wonderful, but we need verse 13. Who were born not of blood? Who were born of blood? The natural ones. Nor of the will of the flesh. You are born of the will of the flesh. All human beings on this earth. Nor of the will of man. This is pretty much natural. The point that John is trying to make here is that those who receive and believe in Jesus are born of God. Something has been placed in them that is beyond what they're used to be. Now, I'm going to have to, by miracle of the new life, we're back in business. This is indeed very good again, and we are back to the place. How does this work? I'm going to jump. This passage that I have here from Ezekiel, you can tell that I start getting really nervous, and then I talk more and waste more time because now we're in a hurry. In Ezekiel 36, we read this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Many people interpret this as being God is going to put the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we are just natural people with the Holy Spirit inside. But see, we need to look at the next verse. The next verse adds something to it. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my spirit. These two things do something different to us. The first one, when God recreates our spirits and puts a new spirit, gives us the desire to walk according to the will of God. It's a new heart that has been given. But the second is different. I will put my spirit inside of you, and you're going to walk that way. Do you remember that passage from Philippians that says, God is the one who produces in you, not just the willing, but the doing. This is precisely what he's talking about. We may desire it. But this Holy Spirit inside of us, when we have this new spirit that desires that, is the only capable of living according to the will of God. I'm going to have to jump this. This is good, but no time. I just want to come to this point here. This is what God did for us. Do you see that dark one that is there? That's the old me that Jesus crucified at the cross. He doesn't need one anymore. He took that one, put it on a cross, and recreated it. We didn't even notice when we start walking with Jesus. But he didn't do that only. Then he recreated us and put this new person. By the way, this presentation is going to be there. You're free to copy it if you would like to look at the verses that I have and everything. They're all there. Jesus started living in us. Is the bigger one there, the rock. You know the rock, the actor. And then finally, Jesus put the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's the equipment that Jesus died for. It's an amazing thing. New life, new spirit. Jesus lives inside of us. We don't have to worry about the old one anymore. And then the Holy Spirit comes and takes over, and we have this amazing way of living according to the will of God from that point forward. So you don't mind that I jump certain things? Or I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm going to get... Do you remember my feelings, emotions, and control, the will? There, when you become a child of God, those things, you have new things that you didn't have before. One of them is what is called the intuition. I'm going to tell you what it is. You're born as a person. You start your mother's womb. When you're still there, you hear, because you're in water there. And all of a sudden, you're born, and you're born into this amazing world when you can understand things and your parents can give you love and touch it. Until you're born, you cannot have that. This is not different than that. When you become a spiritual person and the new spirit comes to you, one of the first things that you have is this intuition of spiritual things and God. It's new. And this intuition doesn't, the key words here are not knowledge. It's not about knowledge. Understanding. It's not about understanding. It's about knowing something. I'm saved. How do you know? I just know. I'm a new creature. How do you know? I don't have arguments for this. I just know it. Something happened to me. I perceive spiritual things in a way that I couldn't perceive before. I'm opening a door for you, if you're willing to believe what I'm sharing here, obviously. I'm opening a door to you that is pretty much a baby being born out of his mother's womb and being in the world to experience the natural world the way it was expected. Now we have the capacity to live in the world. Second thing is that feeling, the new thing that we have is faith. It's not about how you feel or what you see or whatever. Faith, what it does is you know God, you know that he's into something because you know. Because of the new life that you have, and then you trust. Do you remember when Jesus said we are supposed to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God? That's what he's talking about. Little children, naturally, are pretty much like this. They know their parents. They're not arguing. They trust their parents. Jump. They trust that they're going to be catching. Nothing bad is going to happen because they trust their parents. That's the second thing. You can do this with the soul too. That's not my point. My point is that we have the things that are of a different nature. We have been trying to interpret them naturally, and we can go in a different path. What I'm talking about here is this is a new creation in which, this is amazing. And the last one is Holy Spirit lead. The control part. The will part, now you're submitting to God and you say, I trust you, I know you, and now I obey. That's the point where you came at the beginning. They are considered prerequisites for this thing. So this is the way we go. I'm challenging you with something that I don't know if you have experienced this. Your tendency is going to be doing these things with your natural abilities because that's all we knew before. We are so used to this pattern, but now what I'm inviting you is spiritual life has been given. God is there. I can know him and everything. So I'm going to approach God and trying to understand and all these things. What I'm going to do is I'm going to approach God. And you enter there, and all of a sudden, you're going to start knowing. You need to understand that this you cannot produce that. That's who you are now. I'm taking for granted that all of you that receive Jesus as your Savior our spiritual being. You don't have to do anything but believe and receive him, and then you're born of God. That passage didn't say, and by the way, you have to be good. You just have to be born. So I think that that's who I am, and I enter the presence of God, and all of a sudden I'm there, and I start perceiving God. Doesn't mean that I cannot use a book or the Bible or a song or whatever. But what I'm doing is different than having an intellectual. You with me? What I'm trying to communicate here, what you're doing is, these are great tools so that I can open the door for God just to come and do what only God can do. And while we are doing that, I've been struggling with depression lately as in levels that I haven't experienced in 20 years. That's the way life is. have no reasons, but I'm there. And this morning I was down again, and coming to bed is very hard for me when I'm struggling with the thing. But then I went to pray at 6:30 in the morning for our service here. And as soon as I start praying, I put a passage of scripture there, start listening to it, and I say, what an amazing thing. 10 minutes later, I'm in the presence of God, and I don't be worrying about that. I know. The scripture just allowed me to remind me of what I know, but not to convince me that that's true. Now I have to believe that God, I know. And God was there with his open arms, and then I just decided to put my trust in him. And then he started giving some direction, and then what do I do? Okay, and follow him. That applies to all of life. We are just applying it to this, but it applies to life in general. Give an example. First day that I'm a Christian, I have to share this because I think it's highly important. I have been a Christian 12 hours. I knew at the moment that I gave my life to Jesus that I was new. But in the morning when I woke up, had never read scripture in my life, didn't even know that Christian. And then I pick it up out of my bed, the Bible that I had bought years before. And when I opened it, it was alive. At the moment that I opened, the presence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus around, it's pretty much that if I was reading, let's say that the reading is doing that, it was pretty much like having Jesus here reading. Amazing. This 12 hours later, a few minutes later, I go to school, get in my bus, get to school, and when I get there, I used to be a gambler for 6 months before I became a believer. Really demonic stuff. There's no other way I can describe it. I'm not going there. But when I went to the place where I played cards for 7-8 hours a day, I got to close into the table, and when I was approaching, a wall, a spiritual wall just appeared before me. This is 14 hours of being a Christian. And when I felt that, I just backed up from that, and I started looking what was happening on the other side of the wall and what was happening in here. A peace, a love that surrounded me on this side of the wall, and on the other side of the wall, turmoil and this deceiving and all this stuff that was there. So one of them turned, are you going to play today? And I told him, not today nor ever. And I just went and sat on a table and started rejoicing in the presence of God. It's a 14-hour old Christian. But I knew. I could perceive. I could see the kingdom of God. So thank you, Lord, that I had that opportunity, because I came from the very world in a church that was a church plant. It was not that I grew up all my life with all the things that churches teach their children. You are supposed to be a good Christian. If you're not a good Christian, then you're not faithful to God, and you grow with all these fears. And so I didn't have that. I only found Christ. And you with me? So the thing. So you trust, and when he gives direction, you just obey and follow him. No time for more. We even sing about it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We sing it. The rule of the game. Now, this is key, foundational. In most of Christianity, because being a maker of natural life, we have finished that to achieve grace. You know what I'm talking about. The rule of the game hasn't changed. All based in trust and obedience. God leads, we follow. If that's not the way we are living our Christian life, we are on our own. Doing the natural stuff. We are, you know that I'm applying it to everything now. But the important thing for me is you want to experience everything that God has there, experiencing the love of God, the length, the width, and all the things that I share with you. There is only one way. When you approach him spiritually, the Holy Spirit leading you, that's the first verse from Ephesians that we read, and then you come there and the experience becomes supernatural, it becomes spiritual, becomes all that. And that doesn't mean now you're in the clouds. It means that you're just moving according to the nature that now you have in your life. So there it is. So my invitation for you is this. I mean, if you want to write that verse, Ephesians 4, 17, 24, actually, this passage is just leading us to this. Put off concerning the former conduct the old man. That doesn't mean stop sinning. What that means is put off the old man with everything. That way of life that we had before needs to be gone. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The mind is a wonderful thing, but needs to be reviewed. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Get rid of one, put the other one. So the invitation is this. Put off the old man, put on the new one. And live like that. In your worship, in your presence of God, in your everyday walk 24/7 if needed, in your life is going to be completely different than it was before. If we live by the Spirit when we receive Jesus, it's time for us to also walk that way. One is automatic, the living, because you receive Jesus and automatically you become that. The other one is a decision. Amen. So this is a long thing. There it is. I will do it as the Holy Spirit leads me. I'll do it and I'll be transparent because I trust him and I know him and I trust him. And I will exercise my faith because I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to go and obey whatever he leads, I'm going to do. Amen. Thank you for your attention, and thank you, Doreen, and the leadership team for asking me back here. And again, I'm sorry for the time.